cool. Okay, so I want to welcome Ricky onto this podcast episode. And he does... Okay, was that you? Yeah, so this is... he's a day trader. He's a full-time entrepreneur. And he's 25 years old. Years young. And he's crushing it. Like, I met him through an event that Sean Kelly hosted, who's the founder of Jersey Champs. And so I want you kind of, Ricky, to give people a background of who you are, you know, where you're from, and just how you got into doing what you're doing today.
Yeah, so that noise you actually heard is me selling some of my shares of Tesla. I don't know if you guys can actually, if I share my screen, let's see real quick while I'm talking, but you can see I'm up $2,300 on the day on Tesla stock. Let me move this around a little bit. But I just locked in profits. They just added or updated news on being added to the S&P 500. So push up. I have a couple shares, and it's time to lock in profits. But my name's Ricky. I'm 25 years old. I'm mainly known for trading the stock market. I have nearly 900,000 subscribers. I have 890,000 on YouTube. That's definitely my biggest platform. But I try to stay as proactive as I can on these different social platforms. I kind of got my start off of YouTube. I was, you know, going to school full time. I'm from California. I moved to Arizona to attend ASU Poly. I was under the Fulton School of Engineering. I love school. I love learning new things. I love the environment. Polytechnic is a much more like smaller classes. It's not like the Tempe campus. It's not a party campus. Literally, there's just a bunch of guys at that campus. We call the girls unicorns because we never saw any girls over there. And I really just enjoyed like being immersed in a, it's like kind of like that incubator effect, right? And I really enjoyed going to school. While I was going to school, I was working full time. And while I was working full time, I was buying and reselling cars. I was, you know, trading the market, buying and reselling everything. I was just, again, just trying to hustle, save money. The cost of living in Arizona is a lot less in comparison to California. One of the main reasons I moved out here. And Gilbert, which is the city that I live in, and the first house that I bought, was one of the fastest growing cities in the United States. So I bought my house when I was 20 years old, about 2 weeks shy of, it closed 2 weeks shy of my 21st birthday. So I was 20 years old. I closed on the house completely by myself. Again, I had a sales-based job, and I just tried to put in the work. I tried to save money. I never went out, nothing like that. And it's not something that I would encourage or recommend for everyone, but it was just, I truly enjoyed what it was that I was doing every single day. I had 3-4 hours of sleep, maybe, just because I would trade in the mornings. I would film my video. I would go to class. And then after class, I'd go straight to work. And then straight from work, I'd come back, do my homework, and then prep for the next day. And I started my little trading group. I just started uploading videos on YouTube. It had no intention. I generally had no friends. I had a girlfriend at the time. I had no friends. She didn't live with me. So I had a foreign student that was a roommate of mine, never spoke to me, and I had nothing to do. So I began uploading videos on YouTube, and one thing led to another. I was making videos about buying and selling cars. I love focusing on good deals. I love cars, and I love making money. So combine those, you know, different things that I found attractive about that market, started making videos. None of those videos did good. Started making videos about, hey, I bought my first house at age 20. I thought it was impressive. No one cared. Then I made videos about trading the stock market, and one of my videos blew up. And then from there, all I did is nothing special. I just began to make videos based off of suggestions in the comment section. And I knew that I wasn't the best necessarily at what it was that I was doing. All I knew is I knew I can outwork and outperform other people. And I began to upload 2 videos every single day for a little bit over a year and a half. And now I have not only the largest following and sub count on YouTube for those who trade in the stock market for day traders, but on top of that, I have the most videos in comparison to any other day trading channel, nearly 2,000 free videos.
Wow, 2,000 free videos. And so I think there's a lot of people who obviously want to get started on YouTube. Like myself, I also need to get started on that. But, you know, I think the work ethic is something that, you know, where do you get that from? And like, kind of, did you always have that? Because, you know, not everyone can have that kind of drive. And so where did you get that from?
I would have to give credit with my dad. I'm full Mexican. I was born here in the United States, but both my parents are, you know, born in Mexico. I just remember over the weekend, I think a lot of like his family, and I think a lot of, even in the Asian culture, like you guys are very family oriented. And I think that is something that just, I never had a lot of distractions. And I just remember every time on the weekends, I wasn't able to hang out with friends. I wasn't able to sleep over at, you know, people's houses. I worked with my dad. My dad was a general contractor. He laid down tile. There's literally no reason for him to take me to work. I would have to wake up at 6 in the morning, 5 in the morning. We'd go lay down tile, work for 8 to 10 hours. And he just would have me hand him tile. Like, it was the most pointless job for me to even be there. But it was just to instill that hard work ethic, where he would always encourage me that, hey, if you don't want to do this for the rest of your life, you got to do well in school. And that was like his intent. And he came from a good start. And then from there, I was always someone that was curious. And I'm sure a lot of people watching have always bought and resold things. Because I think the reason I maybe experienced success quicker than other people is I never gave up and I was very consistent with it. I'm almost obsessive with what it is that I do. If I'm not productive or if I'm not doing something, I almost feel like I'm just like it's a waste of time. And everything it is that I do throughout my day, especially in my late teenage years and in my early 20s, the reason my relationships were not working with the girls that I was dating was because I was so invested in my work that all I wanted to do was work, and I wanted to stay productive. I wanted to build not only my brand, but the series of different companies aside from just trading, which we were doing. And it's just so amazing to see now that I'm able to enjoy the fruits of my labor with that simple kind of like idea that my dad instilled in me, which comes from that, you know, hard work ethic and staying consistent with what it is that we do.
Nice. Yeah, I'm sure he's proud of how far you've come, right, with what you're doing.
Oh yeah.
Well, and so man, that's kind of crazy. So you went from laying tiles to now day trading full time, building a YouTube community to like 900K. And you know, so like, can you take us through the progression of that? So you went from there to how did you learn about trading and all of that? Yeah.
So trading, the thing that sparked my interest when it came down to like getting started in the stock market was I was a huge fanboy of the Fast and the Furious movies. And because of the Fast and Furious movies, I saw a Nissan GTR. I was like, oh dude, I want that car. Searched up how much it cost. Again, obsessive about it. Had pictures of it, all this stuff. Saw it was very expensive. And I was like, I need to start saving. I need to start buying and reselling stuff. And that's what sparked my interest. Obviously, I ended up buying my dream car, which was the GTR, when I was 21. And it was not what I anticipated. But it is the idea of that, again, motivation that instilled that work ethic. And one thing led to another where I began to look at different ways on how to make money. Trading the stock market was one of those things, through trial and error, obviously, because just learning on YouTube was not as popular as it is now. Now, even trading platforms, you don't pay commission anymore. And that was not the case back then. There's simulation trading, paper trading, the ways that people, you know, anyone watching this, if you've ever wanted to get started in learning how to trade, you don't even need money. You can open up a fake account, or it's a real account, but like with fake money, and you can practice everything that you are learning. So if you're in school, whatever the case might be, and it's like the market has never been so accessible. And I know the stock market's not for everyone, no question about it. But I think that the concepts that you learn in the stock market are something that are universal to a lot of different businesses and a lot of different markets. It's the same concepts that I learned from buying and reselling cars, or the same concept that I learned from trading the market that I was able to utilize in these different markets, as in real estate. I've done over 37 properties in the past year and a half here in the Arizona area. I do a bunch of hard money loans. I just bought a commercial property. And again, it's the very simple concept of understanding how to invest or understanding how to trade and focusing on getting the best deal. Same thing when it comes down to what started as a hobby of buying and reselling cars, just because I was a huge fanatic. We now are one of the youngest people here in Arizona to fully own and operate a used car dealership. And we just opened up our second location in Arkansas. And it's, again, just building a strong team with good work ethics and that, again, are obsessive in the areas that they're focused on. So I always try to work with people that are more talented in the areas that I lack. And then we create a team around that and a little business. And I think that's ultimately what has led to my success, is being able to surround myself with people that are so talented in different areas, and we complement one another in that idea.
Gathering. So you kind of naturally have to be somewhat of like a leader and kind of a gatherer, right? Like someone who gathers people together. Like if you don't have those qualities, you can't really do what you did, right?
Yeah, and again, it goes back like right before we went live, we were talking about it. One of the things that I admire from you know, it's great to see someone doing well. But the thing that I really like to see is when someone begins to do well, how they begin to treat others and how they begin to take advantage of other opportunities. Do you feel like because you do well, you can't reach out to, you know, someone that has less followers than you or, you know, less famous than you because of how that might look? I literally don't care. The people, only two people out of the nine people that are part of our team, only two of them are people that were not from my social media following. Everyone else would, the other seven were people that followed me. They would tag me on my stories. And I just saw that work ethic. I didn't care about the following. I simply want to work with people that hustle and that hustle in areas that I find attractive, but that they do, they're more passionate about it. Because at the end of the day, you know, especially when you're starting a business or especially when you're starting to trade in the stock market, if you're not passionate about it and you're just doing it and hope to make money, when you're just getting started, like that monetary reward is not there. So there has to be some other form of intrinsic motivation that comes from within. And I think that's where that passion really allows you to stay consistent even when you're not being compensated for the obsessive amount of hours that you're, you know, focusing on in these different markets that, you know, you're trying to learn more about.
Yeah, I think it's, I think Gary Vee says it too. He was building Wine Library for years and no one cared, right, for years. And then finally, you know, now he's big because he never gave up. And so I think a lot of times, I'm sure you can relate, when you're first starting, it's really hard to keep going, especially when you don't see results. A lot of people these days, they want things right away. And when they don't see results and when they don't see either the money or followers or whatever it is you want coming in, they get impatient and they give up. So what would you give, you know, what advice would you give to people like that? And like, you know, people who want to start, because a lot of people say, hey, I want to start something. I want to start my podcast. I want to start this and that, but they give up when things get hard. And that's why I think we need mentors and coaches, things like that. Just, you know, what's your experience with that?
I actually really like that question. I don't think I've been asked that question before. And one of the things that I have to say is, especially younger people, they're all over the place. They want to learn Forex. They want to learn how to trade in the market. They want to learn how to drop ship. They want to, I'm not saying that. I mean, each one of these markets are already so difficult to be successful in. And if you're someone that's, as soon as you experience one obstacle, you choose to give up, this is why it's so important that, like, you need to be passionate about what it is that you do, because in any market, it's like, these are not easy markets to be successful in. And it's going to be difficult. The monetary reward is not going to be there right away. Stop obsessing so much about the money and focus so much more on, you know, it's great to have and be able to make, right, $2,300 off of a Tesla trade in one day. But it's not what gets me up every morning. It's the idea that I enjoy the challenge, the challenging part about the market. That's what like motivates me, because it's not the same thing necessarily every single day. And that's what I would really try to share with others, is don't do something just with the sole intent of trying to make money, because if that compensation is not there, you're not going to have that motivation to continue to solve those problems. And that's essentially all everything is. The same thing when it comes down to uploading my videos on YouTube. I genuinely enjoyed uploading videos on YouTube. The reason I was obsessive about it is I was not making any money for like the first year on YouTube. And then I started making $100 and, you know, $300. And I thought it was so, I was like, dude, I am getting paid by Google to upload videos. It was insane. It was like, then you pass your first $1,000 in a month and you're like, oh my, I'm gonna make $12,000 a year off of this. And it's just crazy. But it's, again, it started with the simple idea of being so passionate about something that if I got paid, cool. And that's what I love. I love seeing people do something, hustle, regardless of, you know, when I see people buy and resell, go to like, is it called like thrift stores or thrift stores?
Thrift stores, yeah.
Yeah. But I have a guy that I follow and he's one of our TechBud members. And he goes to thrift stores and he buys and resells. He literally hustles. And I love seeing that, because it's just so raw in the idea of it's not a fancy way of doing things. And he's doing different things. As you know, he's trading. He has an Amazon store and stuff like that, but he doesn't care. He's a little bit older. He has family, and that dude just hustles. And that's what I love to see. You just know that with the way that he shares like his stories and the content that he makes, that you just know he enjoys what he does. And yeah. I think that would be my biggest encouragement for everyone is don't just start something solely for the idea of making money, but make sure it's something that regardless of that monetary reward, it's something that you would not mind waking up every single morning and doing regardless of the, you know, monetary compensation. So
I think that's hard for a lot of people though, because most people, hey, I have, you know, bills to pay. I have like things I got to pay for. And obviously that's most people. And it's kind of like even this podcast, you know, even if it's not monetized, like I still love hearing stories and sharing their stories to inspire people, give yeah. them hope. I think, but a lot of times you can monetize your passions too, right? Like I think people forget that you can monetize anything. There's people selling bottled air, you know, there's people like, if you know how to sell and present yeah. your offer, which school doesn't really teach you, then you could sell pretty much anything, you know.
100%. And I mean, at the end of the day, one of the things I was talking to you about is having side hustles, right? And yeah. I was one that while I was going to school full-time, literally full-time, 14, 16 credits, and also going to work full-time, so working 40 hours a week, I still put in the work. So it really just comes down to how bad you want it. I agree. Sure. It's everyone is put in different positions. You yeah. do need to have some form of stable income. I've always been a big believer in that, but I always tried to work twice or three times as hard as the average person. So while I was working, while I was going to school, doing what I felt like I had to do, on top of that, I was trading, buying and reselling cars. And it got to a point where I was making more money with my side hustles that at that point I was like, okay, I'm going to quit my job. I'm going to hold back on school right now. And I'm going to try to scale this. And now we're in a position where I make in a day what I used to make in 2 to 3 months. Right. And it's because of, yes, I saw value in these markets and I didn't have to go all in, just like everyone, how they love to encourage people to do. It's great if you have that position where you just go all in, like kind of like the Elon Musk, where like he's sleeping in his office and he's like, yeah. Well, I think it's absolutely amazing. But I was someone that wanted stability. I wanted to buy a house. I got a stable income. I qualified for it. But on top of that, I didn't care about the time. At that point, I didn't care to go out. It was just, I wanted to hustle. I wanted to work. So I began to do different things. And now I am where I am because of that type of work ethic.
Work ethic, yeah. And so, I mean, Gary Vee says this a lot too. I think we keep bringing up Gary Vee, but he's like, come after your job, then work, you know, 7 to 2 on your hustle, you know, and then don't sleep on your dreams. And so I think a lot of people, I think Les Brown said it. He said the richest place is the cemetery, because that's where, you know, everyone's dreams and goals are put to death, you know, because they never actualize it. And so many people live their whole lives chasing money. They forget to actually build something that lasts, you know, even after they're gone. You know, I'm not just talking about your assets or money, but I'm talking about like the impact you've made, the legacy you've made, you know. And so
100%
on that.
Thank you. Yeah. Oh, what are my thoughts on that?
Yeah.
I didn't. Yeah. I'm sorry. I was just thinking another day. But I think it's, and that's actually, as I'm getting a little bit older, right? Because I really like began to get my following in like my early 20s, and I'm about to be 26. It's a question that I've been having more often for myself. It's people always love to ask me like, what's next? You know, you get to a certain point where making more money doesn't necessarily make you any more happy. It's more of like, you know, I want the people within our team and our community to begin to do better. And then you begin to ask yourself, like, why am I working so hard? Like, what is it that I'm trying to achieve? And I've been listening to different podcasts and stuff like that. And there was actually a quote from that I've actually shared before. And it's saying, you almost feel, I don't know the exact quote, but it was with Joe Rogan. And the idea is, when you are sick, you only want one thing. But when you are healthy, you want 10,000 things. And it kind of puts it into perspective where like people just like demand so much. And I always have this quote where it's like, always grateful, never satisfied. And I think a lot of entrepreneurs, a lot of people like Steve Jobs, right? Seeing someone literally work themselves to death. Where he has a very powerful message where he literally is like, I reached a form of success that, you know, literally that like it could be viewed as like the epitome of success. And sure. It is so sad to see that he didn't get to enjoy his life, and he died a little bit early on from cancer. And it just puts it into perspective for me of like, I feel like I need to begin to enjoy what it is that I do a little bit more. And I'm able to do that now in a way that, because I've built my team, I do now things as in little things to like, you know, are for self-fulfillment.
Yeah, because you could say you're the top, like you're in the top 1% of 1% in the world if you look at people by your age group, how much you've made. You know, if you take all that, it's like, when is enough enough? And it's kind of like, what is happiness? Like, what is happiness, you know? I think people, like, what is happiness to you? Like, what is happiness to you?
For me, it's I genuinely enjoy working. I get a lot of self-fulfillment from working. I do get lonely sometimes if I'm like working too much and, you know, if we're under a lot of stress. But one of the things that I do enjoy is also just hanging out. And this sounds super weird, but like, because they always say don't like start businesses with your friends, but literally the people that I work with are people that I live with and the people that I have businesses with. And I just generally just enjoy hanging out with them. And it's, if it's that now we go and, you know, we're just hanging out in the living room, making fun of one another, playing basketball together. I try to the best of my ability to keep my circle very small and just have quality people that
quality friends
have fun with one another. But on top of that, we motivate one another and we're there to be of value for one another. And I think that's the biggest thing that we could ever ask from people that we keep very close in our lives.
Yeah, for sure. For sure. Hey man, well, what are some books or some things that have helped you develop your mindset and kind of things that change the way you think?
Yeah, so I'm going to be the worst at this because I have not read one trading book or one entrepreneur book ever in my life. So, it was all based off of trial and error. I was huge on YouTube, as in like I would either, they weren't like books, but they were like articles that I was reading when I was trying to learn more about the stock market. When it comes down to like real estate, I simply just connect with top agents and I shadow them. I'll fund their projects and I just get a small percentage, but I'll try to learn from like the best people in that specific niche. The same thing with like the, you know, car stuff. Everything is that we've learned is from trial and error. We make a lot of mistakes, but we're consistent with it. And small progress every day can lead to big results. And I think we're a great example of that. So I would say that for books, I don't have any great recommendations, but I just hate hearing excuses when someone wants to get started in any market as of right now. Even like for yourself, right? You said you're going to start uploading more on YouTube and I want to see it happen. I need them to content, all of that stuff. You just need to put in the work ethic. If you want to just think of like where you'll be a year from now. I was actually speaking at another event. Oh yeah. Yesterday. And George freaking blew up in 4 to 5 months. And I actually spoke to him after, and he said that he used to watch my videos and he used to comment on my things. And it's so crazy. It's just like, like you don't know where or what position you can be. Sure. Like they don't all make sense. Like the opportunities that like I was able to take advantage of that didn't necessarily look like opportunities. If it was one video that I uploaded that went viral randomly, like, it's just do your part in showing up every single day and putting yourself out there to, my mom has a saying in Spanish that it translated is pretty much like, for those that look, find. And, you know, I'm a proactive looker, to say the least. So
what does that mean? For those that look fine, what is that?
You know, if you're someone that's proactively, you know, trying to take advantage of opportunities, it's only a matter of time that, you know, you will land one. So there's also one in English. It's like, you know, the harder I work, the luckier I get. And I think that's a big thing where people think that, you know, why do very successful people continue to do better? Because, you know, they continue and proactively take advantage of opportunities while the average Joe might just be too scared to. So you don't know where you'll be, you know, a year or two from now or 4 months from now. Just by one small little action and being consistent with it.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you know, before we wrap up though, you know, I want you to share, like, because a lot of people, for them, they feel, they look at people like you and things like that, and they're, man, like, how did he get to where he is? You know, what is your why? Like, what keeps you going when things get tough? And what is that driving force for you? Because it's easy to say, hey, I just love to hustle. But, like, who is it? Or what do you think of when you're like, man, this is who I'm doing it for. this is why I'm doing what I'm doing.
You know? Okay, so I don't think I've ever said this necessarily, but one of the reasons I moved out here was, to buy a house, for ASU, but I had a girlfriend at the time that I thought I was going to marry. And I wanted to work hard to build,
with her,
to build, like, a solid family. I just never wanted to struggle. I saw my parents' relationship during the 2008 crisis kind of be a little shaky. And I think because of that, it just really instilled some core values that, like, I never want to be in a position where my kids ever feel like, you know, because of money, that our relationship is, you know, not there. So I began to put in the work, and I was doing it to build a solid future for my future family. I ended up breaking up with her, but it was the intention of, you know, that is what motivates me. It's I'm not necessarily doing it so much for myself, but for my future self and my future loved ones, if I'm ever blessed with, you know, a family, or if I don't, you know,
just be another Dan Bilzerian and just.
Not like that. That is too funny.
So what's your 5-year vision? Like, where do you want to be? What do you want to be? Like, you know, when you die, like, what do you want to be known for? And how do you want people to remember? So,
I don't like those questions of like, where do you see yourself in 5 years? Dude, I don't know where I see myself next month, but.
Because you're just hustling day to day. You're just like, you couldn't imagine where you'd be today, right? 5 years ago. So you're just like.
Yeah. So I feel like it'd be very naive for me to like try to predict where I'll be in 5 years. All I know now is all the businesses that we are starting. I just bought, like I told you, a commercial building, and we are building a physical location. It will be the first trading HQ where, for our Learn Plan Profit members, I wanted to give back and be able to provide what I wish was available when I first got started. So for all those in the Arizona area that are part of our group, they're going to be able to go in kind of like a WeWork, but just for traders or entrepreneurs that are part of our team. And we're going to have lounges. We have 15 offices in there. We're going to have dark trading rooms with different monitors. You just come on in, dock up your computer, and you can begin to trade. You just have to make your little reservation. And I'm pumped. I just want to continue to create things that weren't available when I first got started, making the overall stock market more accessible. And on top of that, giving it more of like a, we've done a great job on the social space, which is online. Now I want to try to see if we can, you know, do physical locations now. And we're going to be opening up early 2021. So we're pumped on that.
So this is like physical locations for trading, like where you could trade and things like
that? Yeah, it's literally the easiest way for me to put it is just a WeWork for local entrepreneurs and traders. That's, you know, if you have ever been to a WeWork lounge or, you know, a Starbucks, but just imagine it just being filled with a bunch of people that are trading and that are local entrepreneurs. I want to create that incubator effect that I know was very encouraging for me. You know, the more you immerse yourself in that type of environment, I want to be someone that connects other people. And with these physical locations, it's not even about, you know, the money. It's just more about like, we want to facilitate these type of environments to see the type of entrepreneurs that we create.
Okay. And you've just to give people an idea, you've done this in what, 5 years? You said you started when you're 20?
On the social side, yeah.
20. And so you've achieved all this success in 5 years. And that showed you the power of like consistency and just putting in work every day. Because people, like, for example, like I was in med school, right? And I left. Yeah. There's some of my peers, they're being mentored by other, you know, like doctors and stuff like that today. But, you know, we've achieved so much in that time just by self-education and learning.
100%. Yeah, it's just even on the, social side, even before like being big on social media and stuff like that, or offering any like type of services. I had my first house, and I bought my neighbor's house. So, and then I had our entire team living there, and then I had two condos. So I was trying to be proactive with my rentals and investing in real estate. Had my trading, and then I had a couple cars. I had a Corvette Z06, I had a McLaren MP4 12C. That was my first supercar. And then that's when we began to like upload more consistently on YouTube and all of that stuff. And it just comes down to, you know, with social media, it's much easier to scale. But at the end of the day, you decide to do whatever it is that you see the most value. So it's great to see.
Sure. And the McLaren, was it cash? You got it cash or you?
No, not then. I think.
Which one was
that? That one was an actual flip. We made like $15,000 off of it. I had it for about 3 months. It was actually with Tanner J. Fox that I bought it. Again, I was just hustling. I found an opportunity where we saw this very just distressed seller, really needed to get rid of it, needed a cash buyer. I put up half, he put up half, and I could have been, you know, an average Joe would have been like, oh man, I can't afford that. Or I don't know if I could make it happen. I was like, dude, I know that's a good deal. I know I can make 10, 15K. I was like, again, swallowing your ego and just reaching out to someone. I was like, dude, you want to partner up with me on this? I'll insure the car. I'll take care of everything. We'll go half on half and we'll split the profits. And again, it's just making it happen. The condos it is that I was buying, it's, if, you know, every time that I found a, the next deal, if I couldn't either qualify for it or buy it outright myself, I would figure out a solution. Again, people in a world full of problems, be a problem solver. That's, I think, the best way to put it.
All right, nice. That's a good one. I never heard of that. So awesome. So first, where can people find you? Like, where can they find you?
The best way, if they actually want to talk to me, Instagram. So it's just Ricky Gutierrez with two Z's. And I only have one Instagram account. There's so many fake ones out there that will try to get you to, oh, I manage your money. I don't do any of that. I offer one service. It's Learn, Plan, Profit, and that's all. Other than that, if you want to have any questions, if you want to connect, if you want to just say what's up to me, I literally respond to all my direct messages. I take about 3-4 hours every single day. Sure. And I think it's one of the reasons that I've been able to meet these people is because I actually take time to connect with people, and I'll begin to cherry pick the ones that, you know, I like and that I want to be a part of our team. So
and let me ask you, like, a lot of people say they want to outsource Instagram, they want to outsource that. Like, why do you personally spend time on Instagram, like yourself? Like, Gary Vee says he does it too. Like, for you,
it helps me stay in tune. My YouTube channel, everything. The more I engage with what is currently happening, the more relevant I can stay on current relevant topics. And I genuinely, again, just enjoy it. I love talking to people. I love seeing that, I repost our traders all the time that they're doing well, locking in profits, you know, whatever it is. If they, you know, have any specific questions, or they just accomplished or surpassed a certain goal, a car that they just bought. I want to be, we have another quote, it's hustle to inspire. It's like, we want to hustle, but we also want to inspire others. And I think by not only being able to see that I'm doing well, but if I'm able to use my platform to highlight and showcase other people, I think that's the beautiful position that I've been put in, where I can do that. And, you know, our followers really enjoy it. So, yeah.
Awesome. And before we end, I want to ask this last question, which is, I mean, like, now you're successful and everyone's like, yeah, this guy's made it. Like, it's easy for him to say, but I'm sure there was a time in your life, like there was in my life, when, you know, I was depressed and like, I felt like, you know, you know, no one cares, right? No one cares about the vision. No one cares about you. And it's just like, it's just you and yourself, right? And I think it's in those moments when it's just you with yourself that you decide, yeah, I want to do this, like you do with YouTube. Even if no one's watching, hey, you know what? I believe in myself and my vision, so I'm going to do it.
Yeah.
You know, but there were a lot of things you had to overcome mentally and maybe emotionally to get to where you are. You know, so what's something you'd say to younger Ricky when you felt maybe depressed, when you didn't feel so confident, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like Superman, right? Like now, like, can you go back to a time like that and say something to your younger self? Because honestly, man, like, yeah, people look at you and now, you know, for yourself, it's like, I've got this in the bag. I know the systems, but like, really think back to when you were depressed, when you were low, when you had no one standing for you but yourself. And that's literally when the change happened, when you're like, you know what, like, you know, whatever, like, I'm going to curse, like, fuck what everyone thinks. Like, I'm going to do my thing. I'm going to do, because I believe in myself, even if no one does. And so, like, what's something that you would, say?
I would, I have I still have that from time to time. I get lonely, right? And I recently just got out of I just feel like I keep talking about relationships, but
maybe we need to get you a dating coach. I know.
Right. I'm going to need one. Yeah. In anything it is that you do, regardless if you're successful or, you know, an average Joe, you're going to have your ups and downs, and that happens in every business and in every market. So it's something that you just have to accept. It's part of life. One of my lowest points I would have to say, it was a year after I started to catch a lot of traction. And you would think that, you know, I had a GTR, I had two GTRs, I think, at the time. I had a bunch of different cars. I had a bunch of different houses that were investments as in rentals. And I just recently broke up with my girlfriend. We were blowing up on you know, YouTube, I was growing over 1,000 to 2,000 subscribers every single day. And you would think at that point that I would be so happy. And because of, you know, this girl that I thought that I was going to marry and breaking up with her because I wanted to focus and obsess about my work, I literally was, I'm not kidding, like every responsibility that my team now has with editing my videos, with all the little things were, you know, I did everything. I had no team. It was just me. And I just remember literally feeling at like one of the lowest points in my life where I began to realize that like money is never going to fully fulfill me. I can buy things that make me happy, but they're short lived. And what I began then to do is build this team and surround myself with people that made me feel of value. Not just on the social side, because on the social side, it's just analytics. You're just looking at numbers and you're just always wanting the next, you know, threshold of, you know, I hit 1,000 subs. Now I want 10,000. Now I want 100,000. Now I want 1,000,000. And it is so important, at least in my experience, to have good people around you, especially when you are hustling, because I was so obsessive about what it was that I was doing that I left no time for myself. I began to work out. I tried to eat a little bit healthier, and I began to develop a lot more as like the young adult that I was when I was like 21. And those little things and surrounding myself with my team and the people that make up our group is really where I began to find so much more fulfillment in what it was that I was doing. And I just actually began to enjoy my life rather than just, I was a slave to my work and I enjoyed it, but it got to a point where it was unhealthy. I was sick every single month. I wasn't eating good. I've always been very skinny, but I was even skinnier back then. I just looked malnourished. And I just got out of a relationship, and I was just like, I wasn't someone that spent a lot of money. I didn't care about so much about like, oh, I need to, you know, it was a reality check in setting my priorities straight on how I can be of value for others, but also how I can be of value for myself and actually feel that fulfillment that isn't so short-lived. So that was my lowest point.
That's a long spiel to so basically to your younger self, like in a nutshell, what would you tell younger Ricky when he was feeling that way? Like pretend like you're an older brother and speaking to yourself, you know?
I would have
just pretend like you're right there in front of you.
I would have told myself to enjoy life more, especially at a younger age. I feel like I was working too much, and it's, you know, I'm seeking the benefit of it now, but it didn't make that much of a difference, where I just wish I would have enjoyed my early 20s a little bit more.
You know, people listening to this and they're like in their 30s or 40s, they're going to hate you for saying that. They're like, dude, you're 25. What do you mean? Like, you're younger. And so you still have, like, the cool thing is you still have your youth. You know, you still have time to spend with family and people who matter to you.
Yeah, 100%. Family was a big part of that, where I got so disconnected. I grew up, again, a super traditional family, super, like, just those were my friends, my best friends, the people I spent all the time with. And then it just went to, I never spoke to them. I was the only person living in Arizona. Again, I had no friends. I was just working. And it just becomes like very cold. And
very cold. What do you mean by that? Like cold?
It was just, I just remember being in my house. It was just me and I was working all day. And I just remember feeling cold and empty, all like, regardless of what it was that I was doing, nothing was essentially for me. I just didn't have what I thought was my purpose. And I think that stemmed from that relationship thing. And then I just really began to focus on myself. And so that's why I said is I then began to become a little bit more selfish and trying to find fulfillment of things that actually make me happy, and not so much, again, become a slave to my work. And it's that work-life balance. And I didn't understand that. I wanted to hustle, and I would have told myself to enjoy life a little bit more and have that work-life balance. I get it that I'm 25 right now and I'm still young to an extent, right? But I'm just saying, like, you can never get those years back. So I wish I would have had a more proper understanding of work-life balance.
So now how do you do that now? Like, how do you manage it now?
Well, now I have an amazing team. So I you know, my work is like orchestrated in a way that like I have specific responsibilities throughout the day, but I have such an amazing team that they carry other responsibilities that I'm able to watch maybe a show on Netflix a day, right? I'm able to watch a couple of YouTube videos. I'm able to go grab lunch and drive my car. It's like little things that, you know, I can go on a date or something like that. And back then I literally was working and didn't attend to anyone because I was just so focused. I just don't know how to put it. It literally is like, it's so sad to see it. It's great to see like the life that I have now, but it's just like, it was such a sad time where again, I was just.
So would you change that, you know, cause that's also why you're where you are today or
yeah. I mean, I generally, if it made a difference in my bank account by, you know, a couple, you know, if it was a little bit less, I don't need all the money it is that I have. That's why I just continue to reinvest. It's what I take it back and what I enjoy life a little bit more. 100%. I wish I would have spent more time with my family. My family and my parents are getting a lot older. That's time I'm never going to get back. And those type of experiences, it's, I'm not saying like, oh, I wanted to get messed up every single weekend. But the idea was that I just wish I would have enjoyed my life at an earlier age because I never really did, especially in my earlier 20s.
Well, now you can, right?
So, yeah. Oh, 100%. 100%. Yeah. But I'm, you know, especially for people that are watching, if you're beginning to do better or you know, this, you experience this a lot where people that begin to do very well, they begin to like become very depressed or take their life. And it's because it's so sad to see. You just begin to like kind of dig yourself in a hole because nothing, you're so obsessive about the money or the monetary, you know, the next, again, the always satisfied, always thankful, but never satisfied. And that chase of trying to just always level up it's literally so sad. It's
not a bad thing, right? Because you don't want to stay in the same place. You also want to be leveling up, right?
So 100%. I just,
it's a matter of
for me in the position that I'm in right now, I just wish I would have enjoyed my life sooner. I get it that I'm still young, and trust me, I get that it sounds like pretty weird, but it's more for like my family side and my parents. They're a lot older now, and I need to attend to that a little bit more and try to not be so disconnected. So it was just good. Yeah,
that's good. I'm glad you realize that, whether it's,
yeah, I know it's, you think it's common sense, but yeah, whatever.
I mean, yeah, that's good. So awesome. Any last words you want to leave with people that from your heart that's genuinely like that you want to say? You know, you could honestly say, hey, if you're like, I just love the hustle, I love the money, and that's what I do, that's totally fine, you know, like it's nothing wrong with that, but I guess it's just like, This is like an episode. It's going to be evergreen. People can listen to it over time.
Yeah.
So what's something that you want to say? It's like, yo, this is from my years of 25 years of living, I've made a lot of success, but this is my advice, you know, whether it's, you know, hustle all day and make money, that's cool too. But
yeah,
genuinely, like, you know, for a younger Ricky, like you said, enjoy your life. Right.
And anything else. I would pursue a profession. It doesn't matter if it's a normal job. It doesn't matter if it's, you know, becoming an entrepreneur in some form of way. Pursue a market in which, or a profession that you don't need a vacation from. I genuinely enjoy what it is that I do every single day. And the reason that I think that I'm so successful at what it is that I do is because I genuinely enjoy it. And I express that through my work. That is so overlooked nowadays. And I just hate hearing when people don't like their day job or they dread Mondays. If you see our Sunday stock talks, when I go live on YouTube, all those people are super pumped that it's going to be a Monday because they're excited that the market's about to open because the market's closed on the weekend. And I love that excitement. I love being able to see that people are motivated to work. And that's the type of excitement that really drives me. If you guys watched yesterday's video for my Sunday stock talk, you can just, once I start seeing that everyone's pumped because it's going to be Monday, it just, I begin to express that energy through my video and it motivates me. And that's what gets me up every morning, is I enjoy the challenges that trading presents every single day. And because of those challenges it's what gets me up. I like challenging things. And we say this all the time, where nothing in life worth doing or having should ever come easy. And the stock market is definitely not an exception.
Yeah, it's been going up like crazy, right, nowadays? Like,
yeah, that's for the overall market, especially Tesla as of right now.
Crash, you think anything like that? Your predictions?
I focus mainly on day trading. Do I think Tesla's going to pull back? Yes. Well, Tesla's like a hype stock. So I love trading it. I've done the best last week. It wasn't, no, the week before that, I had one of my biggest trading weeks. It was nearly 20K. And then the week after that, it was 4 day or 3 days and then a half day. And then market was closed and we killed it with Tesla. We've been doing so good. I want to continue with that momentum, but I just know it's only a matter of time for it to pull back. But I trade inverse ETFs. So when one goes up, the other one goes down. And I just focus on those two pairs. And market is overbought, but I like to take it day by day, especially with the intention that I have. There's so much crazy news with the second stimulus check, with the COVID going back into, quarantine and these states shutting down, the presidential election being uncertain as right now. It's just like, there's so much craziness. I'm not here to predict anything. I literally just show up every single day. I take in everything that I can and we begin to let it rip out the gates. So,
Warren Buffett, you think his advice is good? Warren Buffett?
Yeah, I mean, I think he 100% has great values. That's more on the investing side. I focus a little bit more on the trading. So, mine's a little bit more of a high risk, high reward. But it's not as, I would say, as easy. I would say 100%, you need to learn how to walk before you run. And investing is a much easier way to transition into trading rather than starting to trade and then investing.
Okay, awesome. Well, I want to thank you, Ricky, for sharing, your story hard, and can follow him on Instagram, right? Ricky,
yep.
Gutierrez.
So RICKYGUTIERREZ, and then an extra Z. And you can literally, if you're watching this and you're going to follow me, I'm going to be offended if you don't direct message me. We'll put it that way. I will respond. And even if it's a what's up, if you have a specific question, if you want to get started for free with paper trading, I'll have a solution for you. So,
okay, awesome. Yeah, man. Well, thanks so much. It was great having you on.
I appreciate it. Thank you again. We'll talk to you soon.